We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So if you wanted to see, he's dressed like a construction worker today. You are You are bright
but
today.
But like a stylish construction worker.
It is a rain jacket. It is not pleasant weather outside. No. Okay.
No, we appreciate you coming in this nasty weather.
Is the last time you were here when he was off for the baby?
Yeah, it was like 1 degree and it was snowing. So I think I'm the reason why this weather. Yeah, there's some bomb cyclone I saw coming, which sounds
great.
The wind is going to be lovely.
Would you like us to put the text line back in front of you? Because that's what you experienced the last time you were here.
Well, first of all, it is much more difficult to fill in for you than what anyone would think. I'm certain of that.
People are never going to believe that.
Jamie's a professional, everybody. And she keeps this ship running. But the text line just sucked me in every time.
Because it was so full of love and appreciation.
Well, they liked you.
Yeah,
you're
probably
the new
did.
Guy.
It was generally positive, but I think I freaked a couple people out when I would respond.
People like the fill-ins.
Yeah, they always
here every
do.
Day, and then it's just gasoline.
For
I'm
a
sure.
while.
I'm sure.
Like, in a year, they'll be like, oh, no, we hate Ryan.
Right, yeah.
We hate it when he's here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people got to have something to hate, right?
Exactly.
How was South by Southwest?
It was cool. So if anyone's not familiar with this conference, it's probably one of the biggest tech conferences. It's really a conference, but it started as a music conference, then they added film, and they added tech. And the film and the tech overlap a week before the music, which starts, I think, today.
How long is it total?
It's two total weeks for South by Southwest, but the tech conference is probably, you know, four days or so.
Okay.
And it does attract, well, it started attracting all the kind of hot startups, right? But it became very expensive. It became very corporate. And
it's in Austin, right?
It's in Austin, yeah. All of downtown Austin. It's all over the city, by the way. In fact, the multiple years I've gone, I've actually never bought a pass to the actual conference because the valuable events for me are always the external things around at different event spaces or bars. And so it is a very unique conference. And honestly, it is because it's never been replicated anywhere else where 100,000 people travel and really from all over the world. I mean, there are countries now that rent out event spaces for the day to promote Canada, to promote you name it, but it's a global conference now. It's interesting, but I think for Kansas City, as you just know, we had a big presence there. In fact, a number of different groups came together, really spearheaded by the Economic Development Council of Casey Moe, to rent an event space and brag about Kansas City for a day and open it up to South by Southwest visitors and goers, and it was a successful event.
What's the interest level in Kansas City there? I mean, obviously, this probably happens for a lot of cities, but do people come and listen and talk and want to hear what you guys have to say about our city?
Yeah, and so do journalists. And there's a lot of journalists that go to South by. So it, in one fell swoop, you can get in front of a lot of influential people and media. And, you know, it's important to talk about the most impactful things that are nationally significant. And Philadelphia, for example, I don't want to bag on Philly, but they rented an event space just a couple doors down. It was a massive party. Bands, booze.
Wait, we're saying this was the bad one?
Guess what? Cheesesteaks. So it's like, if you want to be any more stereotypical, things people already know about Philadelphia, they make cheesesteaks. And we didn't have any barbecued ours, okay? I just want to be very clear. Like, we talked about the relevant tech things. We just didn't throw a big, massive party like other places do.
Okay. I don't understand.
So what was the problem with Philadelphia's party?
It's okay. Supposed to be a professional conference, okay? That's probably it.
You say that, but I have several friends that have been at Southwest, even just for the tech part and just for some of the more formal stuff. There's plenty of partying going on at South by Southwest.
Yeah. Well, sure, but if you're trying to actually promote what's going on in your city, you probably don't want to just reinforce the fact that Philadelphia makes cheesesteaks, okay? I think we all know that the Philly cheesesteak is what they do. But, you know, what's the measurable ROI of something like that? I think, you know, for Philly, it's probably a different ROI.
Yeah.
You know, for us, it was getting these stories out.
Okay, speaking of getting stories out, the story came out after, and I think it was shortly after that, but I want to update, and we want you to update people on Hyperloop. And it was funny, we just got a text as you were sitting down. After experiencing the horrible conditions of Missouri highways, please don't let MoDOT be in charge of Hyperloop, please. Okay, but Missouri lawmakers have put together a special commission to look at the development and strategies to move Hyperloop along. So tell us all the new stuff about Hyperloop. And what it is, for those who don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. There's still So if you're not familiar with this whole project, about a year ago, Virgin Hyperloop One, at that time just Hyperloop One, did a national contest to see, you know, what routes could be developed as potential sites really for the first Hyperloop to be built in North America. And Missouri put its name in the hat. We also immediately started a feasibility study, and really thankfully to Black & Veatch, local big global engineering company that did the feasibility study on this and proved that it was feasible, that you could put a track near or down the middle of I-70 that would get you between Kansas City and St. Louis in about 27 or 28 minutes. And it would cost roughly the price of a gas tank, so $20-$30. And that's revolutionary for a lot of different reasons. Number one, it's a great way to get between these two big cities quickly, but also it's not just about moving people, it's about moving packages. So it's a 24/7 autonomous all-electric system that would potentially be a huge economic development boom for the region, but also it would be a very profitable system.
Big question everybody always has is cost, and we can get to that at some point.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I mean, it's like who's paying it and the taxpayers and all this. But the general consensus I get, and I may have seen you on TV today, this morning when I was getting the baby ready.
I'm just dressed like this? Or?
No, it was properly dressed.
Why are you bagging on my attire
TV.
Here? Put this live thing on so I can redeem myself a little bit.
He wasn't wearing an orange and gray garbage bag on television. No. But... Well, the thing that you stressed...
By the way, is it opening day for you? You're dressed like you're going to the K today.
Right, it'd be great, man. I'd love to go to the K.
I'm just
going to
step outside and let you two have at this.
But the thing that you hammered home was, this thing is going to be made to make money. Whether it's here or it's in the Rockies or it's in California or it's, you know, the Texas Loop or whatever. The point of Hyperloop is to make money. They're not going to make this thing and build it for us to use if they can't make money.
Yeah, it's being built to be incredibly predictive and also profitable because... It's, again, 24/7, autonomous, electric, and it's not impacted by weather. I mean, look at what's going on today in the country with this system coming through and all these flights that are being canceled and really throughout the entire middle section of the country. 100-mile-an-hour wind in a cyclone system like that's coming through today,
mm-hmm.
not impacting a system like Hyperloop. It wouldn't have any impact on that. So it is I think it's an important next step for transportation in America. But you will still need airplanes. You will still need probably cars and trucks and things like that. But this is the future of transportation.
This isn't getting rid of airplanes.
No. Okay. And we still need an airport. I'm happy that it's being built in Kansas City. I think it's the right size of airport because, again, your cargo is also important to airlines. And this system could impact revenue from cargo.
Why would a company want to build Hyperloop between Kansas City and St. Louis of all two big cities, you know, that you could connect in the country? People on the text line are mentioning, I could see it between Kansas City and Denver because that's a place I'd like to go. But why Kansas City to St. Louis?
Yeah, no, this is a really important thing. Guys, we are the leaders in transportation logistics. We have been that way since covered wagons stopped here to resupply before they went southwest or west. And we also started the first interstate system here. So it is a very important part of our economy. It always will be. And it's because we're located right in the middle of the country. No one can take that from us. It's a huge advantage. And if this is the future of transportation, I think it's more impactful to do this from the middle to the coasts versus from the coasts to the middle. So we are playing to the strengths of our region, of our state, and our location.
Let me also ask about just the demand between those two cities. I'm going to attempt to ask a question, not just make a statement, but I get it in part because it's two big cities in the same state. So you can work with one state government to the extent that state government's going to be involved. But is there interest, there would have to be, for people in those two cities to go back and forth quickly between them?
Yeah, that feasibility study, it's surprising how many people travel between these two cities every day.
For work?
Any reason. Yeah, okay. You name it. And certainly that's a big part of it too. And whether they're taking a train, a plane, or an automobile. And if you take the average salary of a Missourian who's making that trip between two cities over the course of the year, it would save a little over $400 million in time. And I know savings is not all you can look at, right? And yes, it's going to cost a lot of money, but it's a huge opportunity there because now you're talking about a mega region and leveraging the strengths of and the workforces in both those cities. I think that's one opportunity that too, that we're probably not even thinking big enough about.
When Jamie mentioned the single government, it popped up in my head. It's hard enough to convince one state's residents to do something. And this might be a tax thing. I don't know how you guys plan on paying for it. I hope you grow trees and money grows on it. But that being said, imagine for that person's text between here and Denver, you would have to convince Missouri taxpayers, Kansas taxpayers, and Colorado taxpayers – That seems like it's three times harder than just saying, hey, let's walk before we can crawl. Let's show it can work between here and St. Louis and then go Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Colorado, Arkansas.
You're exactly right. I mean, we're going to continue to prove that we are leaders in this space, right? So that is the next step probably is you know, doing some demonstration of that locally. But also, you know, you're talking about the funding thing of this. And guys, this has never been done. We do not know how this is going to get funded. But what we do know is we're not going to rely on the state. I think it'd be very foolish to say that each one of these states, each one of these departments of transportation are going to play an active role in funding, regulating. This will have to be led by the private industry. And that's going to be a differentiator between this system and other forms of transportation.
Land, though, is it land the state already owns? And
yeah.
Could that be the state's contribution to it?
It's called a right-of-way, and that's what the state Department of Transportation owns along the highway. So you're not talking about acquiring land. You're going to be leasing that land, and it's already land that's been acquired.
All right, coming up on the other side, I know there's a test site. I want to know what that test site looks like and how dependable something like the Hyperloop can be. If you have questions for Ryan Weber of the Kansas City Tech Council, text them in. We'll ask the president, 22980. That's 22980. More on the Hyperloop coming up next. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. All right, so we're not on Facebook Live because national emergency is happening. Facebook is down.
So is Instagram.
So is Instagram.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Facebook is down, but we are on Twitter Live. So if you follow us on Twitter at KMBZ Radio, we are on Twitter Live, and we're joined in studio by Ryan Weber, KC Tech Council President here on KMBZ, talking Hyperloop as Ryan was just at South by Southwest. Missouri lawmakers are talking about it. Where's the test site, and have you seen the Hyperloop test site?
I have been there. I've seen the future, everybody. I'm here to tell you it's very exciting. Yeah, last fall we took a group of key lawmakers and other leaders throughout the state to go visit DevLoop, as it's called. So if you go to YouTube, you look at Virgin Hyperloop 1, they got a lot of good videos and content out there. So because they've shared a lot of this, I feel like I can talk more about it. But it was pretty incredible to see it in person. Even if you fly out of Las Vegas Airport and you go back to Kansas City, stay on the left side of the plane, sit on that side, and about 5 minutes after takeoff, look down, and you'll see this big white line in the middle of the desert, and that is Virgin Hyperloop 1's DevLoop. It's about a quarter mile long, and it's a very interesting place. They've done a lot of testing on whether or not they could create magnetic levitation, which is how this system works. They remove the air out of the tube. They fire their pod down the middle of it using electrical energy, and it starts to levitate where there's no friction. It'll be the smoothest, quietest ride you've ever experienced. And they've tested it, and it works, and they're the only Hyperloop company that has actually built this scaled model. And I get the weirdest emails from people all over the world saying they've got faster, more efficient version of this. It's like, prove it. You haven't built it. They have.
What's the closest thing we have to this right now?
So there are trains in other parts of the world, Japan and Germany, that do magnetic levitation to be more energy efficient, but it's not predictable. Every night they have to recalibrate the tracks to make sure that they're perfectly aligned. And it's also extremely loud. So you can only go to those speeds and levitate in rural areas, and it is still incredibly loud. And inside of a vacuum tube, it's not.
People want to know, how safe is it? How dependable is it? Because stuff happens, cars break down, trains break down. Unfortunately, we know about planes. What about Hyperloop?
Yeah, this may not surprise people, but Virgin Hyperloop 1's number one priority is safety. And they didn't do any stunts with this DevLoop. They didn't put humans on the track. They wanted to make sure that, number one, could they do this safely? Could they repeat the process over and over again safely? And that's what they've been able to accomplish with this. And they're the first group to do it.
Okay, so tell me more about what the commission's going to be doing then of Missouri lawmakers and who's in on that.
Yeah, so of course, to be determined, because we got to meet here in a couple weeks. But I think in general, people should be excited that our elected officials are willing to lead on revolutionary technology like this. So we took some of them out to DevLoop. They saw it. So it's easy to be a bigger believer once you see it happening. And you see the parts that go into this, and you realize that most of this comes from the supply chain that already exists today. Now, it's being put together in a proprietary way, but this group is going to look at a couple things. Number one, what would be the most effective way to fund a project like this? The feasibility study has already proven that, yes, something like this could be feasible, but that is not enough. You're going to need to have some resources available to continue to do environmental studies and other things in the process that you have to do to make sure this is a worthy investment. But also, you know, I think they're going to look at how you regulate this. And someone mentioned MoDOT. Well, they're going to play a significant role, but maybe the federal government will too. And we could help lead with some of the regulation on a federal system, which has got to happen, guys. This can't just be between Kansas City and St. Louis. I want to wake up and take a Hyperloop to go ski someday, so I hope that happens.
I mean, at some point, we're going to have to replace all of our interstates. You know, at some point, we have an interstate system that is just going to continue. I hate to compare it to KCI, but at some point, you know, roads don't just last forever. Yeah. At some point, you're going to have to spend a lot of money to replace, and we talk a lot about how bad a shape I-70 is in. Do you continue to spend the money to replace concrete, or do you build something new?
Yeah, I'm sure there's people listening saying, yes, absolutely, because that's what we know here in America. We know roads, we know cars, right? If you look at the countries like India, for example, that have this massive population of people that now can have a car, they are very concerned about building 12-lane highways. That seems like a waste of money to them. And the first Hyperloop system ever is likely going to be in India between Pune and Mumbai. I mean, so you're talking billions of people live in that part of the world. So you can't build a highway big enough to support car travel there. So rather than them investing in the old infrastructure, they're investing in the new structure, which is Hyperloop.
All right. So I think a lot of people are trying to picture this whole thing in their head, and at least I am. Are we talking about two tubes, one going to St. Louis, one coming back from St. Louis, and then trains of cars that leave every hour or whatever? Are we talking about small pods that leave whenever you fill them up and go? Is there a plan like that? Is there any of that on the table?
I think it's fair to assume there will be more than one tube. And also, I think it's fair to assume that it's going to be on demand. So if you and I want to go to St. Louis right now and have lunch, we could do it. We would simply get on our device.
So it's not like an Amtrak train where there are 10 cars and everybody goes together and you have to abide by their schedule.
Right.
Okay.
There's no scheduled pods that depart at certain times. And again, that's 24/7.
I got questions coming in on the text line for you. And I like the direction that these questions are going. And they're kind of in the same vein.
Is that rare, or?
In all seriousness. First texter said, I am a college student. This Hyperloop project sounds really exciting. If I wanted to pursue a career path to get involved, what could I study or what degree should I pursue that would be the most useful to contribute to the project? And then I'll hit you with another question about jobs.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. So specifically with Hyperloop, you think?
Anything
engineering, electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, computer engineering. That is definitely the first step to getting a well-paid job doing something like this. But also, supply chain logistics, that's a huge need too. Data analytics, that's going to be a big part of this project as well. So anything in those categories immediately come to mind.
And I assume the answer to this is not yet, but I'll read it to you anyway. Hyperloop sounds like such an awesome project to work on. Is there any company that's hiring or any opportunities to work on it in any capacity?
Yeah, Virgin Hyperloop One is hiring. Their location currently is in Los Angeles. I wouldn't want to export any of our great talent. I would say
so. No is his answer.
I would also look at companies like Black & Veatch who are working on this feasibility study, and they're always looking for people. And they were chosen because they do stuff like this. They work with massive water pipes that are very similar in size. They also built Tesla's supercharging network. They understand how power pipes and all these things work to put together a system like this.
New airport divides people politically. Streetcar divides people politically. Does Hyperloop divide the state politically?
You know, I'm sure there's going to be believers and non-believers and people saying, why are we wasting our money on this? And you know what? Like that, I totally understand there's these people out there. But at this point, what's the harm in continuing to review this project as a potential accelerant to our economic development? Because recruiting the next Amazon is not going to change our economy. Being the first to develop a system like this will, and that's why I'm spending time on it.
Ryan, and just so you know, on Twitter, Cam sent me a message, said he's not construction worker, you're jogger chic. That's what you are, jogger chic. Somebody sent us a message on Twitter who's watching us on Twitter Live. So.
Yes, apparently my tire is something I'll have to consider for my next radio show.
You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Weber KC. KC Tech Council President Ryan Weber has been our guest. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And I think you'll be in when I'm gone.
Yeah, we're setting up some dates. Yeah, so you'll have 4 hours at him at a time.
And it'll be live. I'll be live. So dress well, my friend.
Good. Clearly I will. So let's all look forward to that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.